Let us pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for making it possible to gather this morning as your people, knowing that we will be fed by you through your word, strengthened by you, led by you, that we can live for you in everything that we do. And so we ask that you would grant us a special measure of your Holy Spirit this morning as we listen to your word. May he touch our hearts and open them so that we may see your grace and mercy for us and for all people. This we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. I titled my message today about God covenants with us, and I like to say I'm using a pretext by using the first reading this morning, because that talks about God's first covenant with us. Now, sometimes we don't realize how much we live by covenants in our daily life. Actually, the Constitution of the United States is a covenant. It's a covenant between those that are governed and those who govern. We don't realize quite often that when we get married, we are taking out a covenant between our spouse and us. When we draw a loan from the bank, we are taking out a covenant. No, my dictionary defined covenant says a legal binding agreement between the parties involved. A legal binding agreement. So we want to take a look at some of God's covenants with us this morning. We're going to start out with the one that he made with Noah after the flood. But we're going to look at a few others, ending up with that new covenant that God has made with us through Jesus our Savior. Now, we are told that then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. A very important covenant God made with Noah and his family right after they came out of the ark. Now, why do you think it was so important that God made this covenant at that time with Noah and the type of covenant that he made, which was a very general covenant? It wasn't just with Noah and his children, but it was with all the animals, with everything on the earth. Because you see, something very terrible, very drastic had taken place. God had promised Adam and Eve that in the day in which they ate of that tree in the middle of the garden, they would surely die. Because by doing that, they would be doing an act of disobedience to God, and that is sin. For all sin is disobedience to God. Well, we know what happened. But Adam and Eve didn't immediately drop over dead. But God says, you will now die, because God had created them to live forever. Well, time went on. How many years, we're really not sure, but it was several thousands of years went by. And things went from bad to worse. So much so that by the time of Noah, it was hard to find anyone who trusted and believed in God anymore. They had all utterly rejected him. After all, they were so smart and so intelligent, they could do anything that they wanted to do. And they went their own way, rejecting God. And God said, I will show them what disobedience brings about. And he sent a flood. A flood that not only destroyed all the humanity that was living on this earth, all the people except Noah and his family, but also so many of the wild animals. He just had two of every animal, a pair of each animal taken, except of those that were considered clean animals. There were seven pairs each. And these he took with him in the ark, and these were to be the progenitors, the beginning of the race that would take over after the flood was over. A new generation, a new start for them. We know what happened. For 120 years, Noah built on his ark. For 120 years, he warned the people, this is why I am doing this. I am building this ark because God is going to destroy this earth and wipe out all life that does not trust in him. And they laughed at him. Much as people today laughed at the thought that God is the creator, that God is the only true God, the Lord God in Scripture. And God carried through on his promise. And the flood came. And the people died, except for Noah. And all the animals and all living things on this earth died, except for those that were with Noah and his family in the ark. You see, sin carries some terrible, terrible consequences to it. We will be shut off from God forever if we reject his pleas for mercy. But I'm sure that Noah and his children were starting to think after that flood and the time that they spent in over a year. What if God is going to do this again? How does God feel about me? Yes, we were saved by this, but what? You know, all these questions that were there. And so God wanted to reassure Noah and his family of his love, of his grace, and of his mercy. And so he said, I am going to make a covenant with you. Notice that God makes the covenant, not Noah dealing with God. God told Noah what the covenant was going to be, and this is the covenant, and this is what is going to happen if you continue to follow me. But he made this one a little different than some of the other covenants that he made later on. In this one, he says, I'm going to make this one for the rest of time. Never again will I destroy the earth or all of the flesh that are living on it in this way. And so that you will know that I have placed my bow in the heavens, in that rainbow that is there. And every time I see that rainbow, well, not quite every time, but almost every time I see it, I am reminded of God's grace and mercy, his promise to never again wipe out all humanity by a flood, all living things by a flood. God is a gracious and merciful God. He puts up with so much. Well, God made other covenants with his people also. Now, this was the first one that he made that we have recorded in Scripture. The other covenants are some that we know of. We know of the covenant that he made with Noah, with Abraham. Remember how when the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Through Abraham, through his children, who would be set apart as a special people, God was going to bless not only Abraham and his descendants, but all people on earth. They didn't really fully understand what this all implied at that time. But God passed that blessing on to Isaac and to Jacob and to the children of Israel. He had the children of Israel taken into captivity or taken down to Egypt to escape that famine that was so terrible in the world at that time. And there they grew into a mighty nation. And at God's right time, after the children of Israel had been enslaved and put to forced labor, God led them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he brought them into the wilderness. And there at Mount Sinai, God made another covenant with them. And he says, this is what you will be my people, and I will be your God. And this is how you are to show that you are my people. And he gave them his law. Not only the Ten Commandments, but he told them how they were to worship him, how they were to govern themselves, all these things that came into this God's covenant with them. For we know what happened. Less than 40 days after God made that covenant with them, there they were dancing around a golden calf by Mount Sinai, saying that this is the God that brought them out of Egypt. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. He broke that stone tablets on which that covenant was written because they had sinned against God, and says, you have broken God's law. You have shattered it. But God was merciful to them. He forgave them. And time and again, the children of Israel continued to break those covenants of God. But God promised them through the prophet Jeremiah. You know, there were a number of very important prophets that prophesied at the time, just before and during the time of the Babylonian captivity. There was Isaiah, well known, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea. No, Hosea was a different time. I can't remember all of them. There was a number of the minor prophets. Micah was one of them. Malachi was another one. All of these prophesied in there. Daniel was there about God and what he would do. Well, the children of Israel, when they were in captivity in Babylon, finally realized that they had walked away from God's rule in their lives and had turned their back on him. God had told them that you are going to spend 70 years in captivity because that generation that was alive when it began is going to be dying in captivity. But their souls would still be saved. I like what Ezekiel put it. We all know his vision of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. And God took Ezekiel there to that valley and showed him this vision of these dry bones. And he asked, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel wisely says, oh Lord, only you know. He wasn't going to argue with God. And then God told him, I want you to prophesy to them. In other words, I want you to proclaim my word to them and they will come back to life. And then they came back, the bone to bone and that. But there was still no life in them until the Holy Spirit was given to them. Because it's by the Spirit of God that we come to faith and acknowledge who God is and what he has done for us. And that very same thought was brought out by Jeremiah when he was prophesying at the time of the destruction, just before the destruction of Jerusalem to take place. And Jeremiah said to them, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and will remember their sins no more. And when Jesus came into the world, he told Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. With the sending of Jesus, God the Father was initiating his plan of this final covenant that was going to be made by Jesus for us and for all people again, not just some, but for all people, that all people can know the Lord, that all people can know that their sins are forgiven. For you see, all of God's covenants are a one-way covenant. God saying, this is what I am going to do for you. You don't have to do anything. I am doing it for you. All you have to do is live as my children. And I have given you my laws. I have told you how you can live as my child. And what happens? Well, Jesus knows how frail we are, how often he had to admonish his 12 chosen disciples, the ones we call the 12 apostles. Time and again, they too showed their doubt. It's unfortunate that Mark has such a condensed version of what was recorded in the gospel reading this morning. We know that when Jesus came walking to them on the water, Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you, let me come to you out there on the water." And Jesus says, "Come forth, come here." And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on that water until he took away from Jesus and saw the waves run. No, this is impossible. This can't happen. And down he went because he took his eyes off Jesus. And Jesus got into the boat and said, "Oh, you of little faith, you of little faith." You see, God's covenants with us are covenants of mercy, of love, and compassion. And that's why he sent Jesus to us. Jesus, who became a human being, who lived, suffered, died, and rose again, all for us, who was tempted, as Scripture says, in every way just as we are, yet he never sinned. He was showing that it was humanly possible. And Jesus, humanly possible, humanly, as the divine Son of Man, kept God's law perfectly for us. And then he went to the cross. And there he died. But before he did that, Jesus had one final covenant to make with his children, and that includes us. Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That's the way St. Luke puts it. Jesus saying, "This is the new covenant that Jeremiah was talking about, that is poured out in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." See, before, other animals had to be killed and shed their blood so that they would know that it costs life, that life can only be redeemed by life, but it had to be a perfect life. And there was only one perfect human life that ever lived. Jesus, the Son of Mary, the child of Mary, who was also, in that mysterious way, the Son of God. And he, the Son of God, died for us as God and man so that we could be forgiven. That new covenant we remember every time we come to the Lord's table and there receive his body and blood. We know that it is his body and his blood because, as Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood." Jesus was very exact there. He didn't say "this is like" or "this is as if" or "this represents," whereas he did when he spoke in parables. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." It was that body and blood given and shed for us on Calvary's cross when Jesus died, because that was when the payment was made for you and for me and for all people. God sealed that covenant with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is why we worship on Sundays. We are here this day celebrating God's covenant with us in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Remember, God's covenants are always God acting on our behalf because he loves us and he shows us how much he loves us in his Son who suffered and died for you and me, but not only for you and me. Remember, he did this for everyone, even those who reject him. But they still need to hear that message. And so it is our task as children of God to share that message whenever and wherever it is possible. In our day and age, it is becoming harder and harder to share the message of Christ. But still, the best way is how we live as children of God. The next best way is one that Peter tells us, that whenever somebody asks us why we are the way we are, be sure to give a good answer for the reason of the hope that you have within you. Because you see, that is one thing nobody can stop. Not even in India, not even in China, not any place where communism has reigned, where Islam reigns. If the people ask you about it, then you are legally allowed to share your faith with them. So we just have to create situations where they're going to ask, why are you the way you are? We are the way we are because we know of God's love for us in Christ, who is that new covenant in God's blood for us. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, unto life, life everlasting. Amen.